Church, y'all are fun. Y'all are fun. I'm so glad you're here today. It's a beautiful day. And it is just, it is a pleasure and a blessing to be able to worship God with so many brothers and sisters that are just filled with God's Spirit. And it's a joy. It's a joy. Church, you have a lot to be thankful for, to be a part of Sunrise Church of Christ. Just to have those that just take care of, make sure our classes are running smoothly and just you can feel God's Spirit in our brothers reading from God's Word and lifting us up in prayer and just being able to share with the Lord's table. So it is I just hope you appreciate it. It's a joy and a blessing. If you are new to church, or Sunrise is the only church you've ever known, or you've just been to a lot of places and been to a lot of different congregations, not every congregation, not every church is happy to be around each other. not every church gets along. It's crazy, but we are very blessed. We are very blessed here. So I am thankful for all of you. So this morning, I'd like us to go to our Father in prayer. And then today, I'd like us to be convicted by His Word. So I'm not asking much. Should be a light day. Should be a light day. All right, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, Your name is holy. And as You sit between Your cherubim, enthroned above all Your creation, we recognize and confess that You are God. Father, we know that in ourselves, that we don't add anything to You, we don't bring anything to Your glory. But we confess that we have seen Your glory. We have come to know and come to believe that You are the only God, and Your Son, Jesus Christ, is the only way to eternal life, to righteousness, and to salvation. Blessed be Your name, Lord. On our lips of praise, in our hearts of faith, in our hands of service, blessed be Your name. Father, as we take a closer look at Your majesty today, I pray that You give us all that we need so that this week we will be close, we will be faithful, and that we will be able to reach a lost soul, that we will be able to touch someone who is far from their Creator, that we will be able to help someone have their eyes open to Your glory and their true purpose for their lives, just as You have given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I had an awesome week this last week. I mean, it was just amazing. It was wonderful in every aspect that you could possibly think or ask, except for one thing. Or one person, rather. It's no one in this room, so don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But one person this week annoyed me. I know some of you are like, just one? Aaron, did you say just one? I thought I heard that. You're doing good, Michael. Just one person annoyed you this week. Nope, this person annoyed me. They got under my skin. Really bothered me. They really bothered me, and I had a hard time. I had a hard time loving them as I should. And I let this go for a day or two. And whenever they were close to me, I just bristled. It was not fun. It wasn't comfortable. I mean, it didn't ruin my whole day because I wasn't hanging out with them, you know, for hours at a time. But every time I was in their presence, it was just... About day three, it finally came to me that this is not their problem. Because, you know, when someone gets on your nerves or someone makes you upset and all the inside feelings that you go through, And they're just living their life like they don't even know. Because they don't. Right? And we just make ourselves suffer. And we just keep all that in there. And I didn't say anything mean to them. I did not say anything mean to this person. I didn't lash out to them. I didn't treat them bad. I just didn't treat them well. I didn't treat them well. I might have missed opportunities to serve. I might have missed opportunities to love. I don't know. Maybe they were going through something. Maybe they were going through something. And for whatever reason, instead of seeing God's love and an opportunity to serve someone else, I let the enemy put something in my heart and just not be right. And just not be right. And it struck me this week that everything else was so perfect. I mean, I read my Bible this week. I had some powerful prayers this week. I spent time with God. I worshiped and praised God's name this week. And with that one person, I couldn't get it right. I couldn't love them as I was supposed to love them. And I was convicted. I was convicted, and I went to Jesus with this, and I just told him, Lord, how can everything else just be lining up okay, and this one part just get under my skin and drive me crazy? And why is it just not natural and easy just to spread your love and your light to this person? Why is that so difficult for me this week? Well, I realized that in not loving this one person, that I didn't get it. I was leaving a part of my heart closed off from God, that I was not allowing His grace, love, and mercy flow through me for that person this week. And I had to go back to it. I had to be reminded. I had to be reminded. And so the Apostle Paul, in his letter to Corinth, and we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 writes to a church that, yeah, they had their share of problems, but I tell you, they had some spirit-filled worship. They had some amazing things going on in the body and in the assembly. And Paul uses that, and he says, look, no matter all the other things that you are getting right, you can't miss this one thing. You can't get all that worship and all that service and everything right in following Jesus and miss this one thing. And this week I was missing that one thing for just that one person. And I was left out. I was left out. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1, I'd like us to read it. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. I initialed those two. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. You see, instead, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, We see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So, now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. The Apostle Paul, basically, this chapter is broken up into three paragraphs. In the first paragraph, he just says to the church, he says to those who are following in the steps of Jesus, we can be faithful to God in all things. We can experience all spiritual things. We can sacrifice and serve and give of ourselves just like Jesus does. And without love, it doesn't matter. Without love, we don't get any credit for it. I mean, we may still help someone. We may still make their lives better, but if it is not done in love, it doesn't matter. I mean, how many times does our heart need to be convicted of that? I mean, how many times do we go through with our amazing worship and we don't love those people around us? I mean, we're here. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to give. We might even just, you know, catch some of the Holy Spirit. But I'm not thinking much about the people around me. I mean, how many times do we go and we say, yes, I know it's the right thing to do, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to be nice to other people. But really, I just want to do what I need to do just so they'll leave me alone. Or just do it as quickly as possible. How many times do we just trust in God enough to continue, to keep on keeping on, to keep coming back to church, to keep getting up every day and say, this for me and my household, it's all about God. How many times can we do that and just have faith and trust and then just not love? And Paul says all of these things important, but they all need love. And we need love in all of them. In the second paragraph, he goes on to describe for us what love is and what love is not. And like I said, I initialed that. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love is not irritable or resentful. That was me this week with that one person. I was just irritated. I didn't even know why. That was the worst part. They didn't do something to me. They didn't step on my toes. They didn't hurt my feelings. They didn't insult me. I didn't have love in my heart for that person. I was resentful and I was irritable, and it was, again, just hurting me. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. In other words, love says that all of this, all of me, is not about me. That I am not on the center of my throne. Jesus is on the center of my throne. And I will put others in front of myself. Because, honestly, others are more important than me. Others are more important than me. And I know that's hard, right? It's hard to see other people and think, how can that person possibly be more important than me right now? How can that person possibly be more important than me? I mean, come on, I hang out with me. I'm pretty cool. I know how cool I am. I know how special I am. I know how important I am. In fact, I spend hours of my day thinking about myself. No one else thinks about me as much as I do. I promise you that. No one is thinking as much about me as me. And yet, I got to think about them. And I got to remind my heart how important they are. We go back to the gospel, don't we? We go back to the gospel and we see Jesus reaching out to those who no one else had a second thought for. We see Jesus reaching out to those that nobody else stood up for and advocated for and loved. And we read stories like the lepers coming to Jesus and Jesus just doing wild things like touching them, healing them, and willing to make himself unclean for their sake. And we see Jesus going through and just seeing such faith and such love and rewarding it and looking at him and say, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has made you well. You have peace with God. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's what Jesus does. He goes around doing that. He goes around doing that. He emptied himself. He emptied himself. We know what the Bible tells us. He didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That means that in his life here, he realized, I have to give something up so that I can relate to other people. And church, isn't that us? Don't you have to give something up of yourself to relate to those around you? Yes, you have to consider their needs. You have to love them. You have to make them more important than you. And when you do that, the love and the grace and the mercy of God is extended into their lives. What love is? Verse 7. What love is? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Does that sound familiar? I know, we haven't sung it in a while. I know. It's slipping from us. That's what love is. Love bears all things. Well, I don't want to put up with them anymore. Well, love says we do. Well, I put up with them enough. Love says you're not at all yet. You've borne a lot, but you haven't borne it all. Right? Well, what am I? Jesus? Jesus bore it all. We have these unspoken conversations with our Lord and Savior, don't we? Or are just our wine sessions? I don't want to bear it all. I've borne enough today. Love believes all things. Love believes all things. You know, you can't humble yourself and serve someone else if you don't believe that there's hope for them. You got to believe. You got to believe that God's love and light will go through, just bore a hole in their cold, dead heart and change their lives. Because if you don't believe that, you're not going to reach out to them, are you? No, they're hopeless. They're lost. Yeah, they're lost. They need to be found. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. You know what? I hope what is good for you. I hope what is best for you. I hope that God has good things in store for you. And love endures all. Love endures all. Love doesn't quit. Love doesn't tap out. Love doesn't say enough. Right? Think about your life. Think about your family. I would say think about your marriage, right? How many times does our spouse do something where we just want to go, I'm out. So let me just make it real easy for you. Think about your kids. Because your kids, I mean, they make you want to tap out every day. Or tap them. But you don't. Because you endure, right? You endure. You endure all things. That's love. That's love. Now, the point is not that we just take in a whole bunch of other kids. It's the point that we just love other people like that as well. That we understand that that is love. That is love, and we just do it for others. And then finally, the third paragraph, Paul says, love is permanent. Love is permanent. Faith and hope. And this is an amazing thing. He says, down in verse 13, faith, hope, and love. These things abide, but love is the greatest. Well, how can love be greater than faith? How can love be greater than faith? I mean, my faith is the most important thing that I have. Yeah, it is, but guess what? Your faith has a termination point, does it not? Uh-huh. Because one day, when he comes back, your faith will be made sight. Right now, we walk by faith. In fact, I just wrote it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Make a note of it and go read it this afternoon. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you need a little encouragement in that way. Our faith will be made sight. My faith is going to come to an end. It's going to do its job. It's going to get me to Jesus. And then it's not going to be necessary anymore. It's just going to be me and him and all of you and all of us. And it's just going to be done. And we're just going to be just like he is. So faith's going to come to an end. That's why faith can't be the most important thing. Hope. Hope. I hope in Jesus, right? Boy, I hope this is all true. Don't you? Uh-huh. I can't see it every day, but boy, I hope it's true. I've invested quite a lot in it. I really hope it is. And you know, one day, hope everything I'm hoping for, everything I'm hanging on to, everything that's connecting me to Him, I 100% believe it with all my heart. I know it to be true, but, you know, much like Kevin said this morning, if you know, you know. And if you don't, sometimes it's hard to put into words. But I hope. I hope, and that keeps me connected to God. My hopes will all be fulfilled. If you're taking notes, go read Romans chapter 5 this afternoon. Romans chapter 5. Your hope will be fulfilled. So what does that leave? Love. Love. Out of those three things, that's the only one I'm carrying with me through all eternity. My faith will become sight. All my hopes will be fulfilled. Love remains. We should probably put some energy in love, huh? The things that carry into eternity are probably the things that we need to be investing in, right? Yeah, we do. We do. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians. Philippians, Colossians. You know the song. You guys do know the song, right? Colossians chapter 3. Go down to verse 10. Here the Apostle Paul says, look, here's how we're going to do all this love stuff, okay? Because I need help doing it. This week, I needed help doing it. I know it. I know how important it is. I know it's supposed to last forever, but I encountered someone who tested my love. They just tested it. They put it to the test, and I was found wanting. 3 days. 3 days. I couldn't figure it out. I just lived with it. I just carried it. I just let it fester. It was wrong. It was wrong. I should let you guys preach every once in a while. Let you get some of that off your chest. Paul says, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Church, what if we get up tomorrow morning and we just say, from here, today, the only thing that matters is Jesus. Church, what would we look like? What would we look like as a group of believers together in this neighborhood, in this town, in our works, in our families, if we just got up tomorrow and said, nothing else, the only thing that matters is Jesus? It would, wouldn't it? Absolutely. Jesus in all. It's all that matters. Because we bring to Him all our competition, don't we? Our competing kingdoms, our wants and our desires, all our other stuff, and then all of our sin and our lack of faith and all the ways in which we are not putting those things down at His feet saying, Jesus, You take care of this. But the new creation, the new self says, Jesus is all and in all. So how am I going to do that? Well, verse 12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. I know, novel idea, right? Someone has hurt your feelings. Forgive them. Forgive them. We know what forgiveness is, right? Your account is canceled. Canceled. You owe me nothing. You owe me nothing. We are good. If someone has something against you, forgive them. Cancel their debts. Cancel their accounts. This week, I held on to this person's debt in my heart. And the worst part is I couldn't even put my finger on what they'd done to me. But I carried their debts. And we're not made to carry our debts. We can't even carry our debts. And we're definitely not made to carry someone else's debts. So what does He say? Forgive. Release. Let it go. But it hurt. Uh-huh. But it's not fair. Uh-huh. But the relationship is not right between us. Uh-huh. But they think they got one over on me and are more powerful than me and are making me, forgive. Forgive. You don't think Jesus felt all those things on the cross? You don't think Jesus was looking at every single one of us and going, they don't deserve this. They do not deserve this. But I'm going to do it anyway. God looks at his creation and he says, they don't deserve good. I've given them everything. And what do they do with it? Everything they touch does what? They don't deserve good. And yet what does he do? His steadfast love is renewed every day. He pours out on us. Tony read for us from Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. All good, all spiritual blessings come from God. That's why we praise his name. Because he constantly looks at us through the lens of his love and not what we have done to him today. That's how you look at other people. That's how love bears all things. I look at other people through the lens of love, not through the lens of what I think they owe me or what I think I deserve or how I deserve to be treated. Let's read 13 again. Bearing with one another, and if someone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. How? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. In case we forget, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. We didn't deserve his forgiveness, and yet that's how we forgive. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Church, the new resurrected life that we are in Jesus Christ, it has benefits, eternal benefits, but it also has expectations. Like Jesus has given us his life. He has redeemed us from ourselves. And he calls us to be like him. He calls us to be like him. So there are some great expectations on. And he says, put it on. Put it on. Put on these things. This is who you are. This is who you are. How many times do you have about enough time in the morning just to get yourself, you know, ready for public consumption? Right? And you just look at that piece of mirrored glass. Just look, is this right? Is that right? Is it all? And we pretty all this up for who? For people we don't even like. Right? And then we come out in public and we're just out in it. And anybody show up this morning not having prayed? Well, we're going to church, Michael. We'll pray there. No. Uh-uh. Did anyone show up this morning not having prayed this morning? If you're curious, the car ride here was probably a good indication. Right? We all confess to each other. Why do we fight so much in the car on Sunday mornings? Because we're not ready. We're not ready. We are coming to do something eternal, spiritual, and amazing. And we don't prepare ourselves. I mean, we think Tony's reading of Scripture, well, that prepares my heart. No. You prepare your heart. You put on the new self. Tomorrow when you get up and you get ready for work, if you don't take that time to put on Christ, to put on the full armor of God, how does it go? You know how it goes. It goes like last Monday. Oh, Monday. Right? We don't ride in on chariot's wings on Monday morning, filled with thankfulness and joy and love and peace in our hearts. Woo! Go God! No, we just show up, just back at the coal mines. Just like everybody else. Don't talk to me, I haven't had coffee. Right? Coffee. Coffee is what makes it right. I'll let you know. The fourth cup will kick in about 5 o'clock when it's time to go home. Then I'll smile at you on the way out. Church, we've got to put on Christ. It's our reality. It's truth. We're not adding to what God has already done, but we've got to put it on. We got to put it on. We leave the house so many days without putting on the things that we need to put on. I mean, we put on earthly things. We put on physical things. We put on temporary things. We got to put on the eternal. We got to put on the eternal, or we will not love as we are called to love. And verse 14, if you're underlining, oh, verse 14. Above all these, put on love. Why? Because it holds it all together. It's exactly what he was talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. You can have all that other stuff, but love is the sauce. Love is the stuff. Love is the gel. It's the glue. It's whatever you want to call it. It is holding it all together. Because if I don't have love, then you know what? Eventually it's going to become a struggle to worship God, right? Because some of us showed up here this morning and it's a struggle. It is literally a struggle for some of us sitting here. I mean, the songs are good, but Michael's making a lot of eye contact, but I wish he would just look somewhere else. Can he just be done? I have other things to do today. Just all of it. If we don't put love around it, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Worshiping God is going to be difficult. Saying something good and encouraging someone else before you get from here to your car this morning is going to be difficult if it's not all held together by love. Avoiding that overly friendly person is going to be difficult if it's not all held together by love. Right? I know. Dodge, dip, duck, and dodge. My dad's hugs. I've been doing it for years. It's hard to do if it's not all connected in love. That's right. If you can dodge a hug, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a hug. I look at that t-shirt. Church, love gives meaning to everything we do. It gives meaning and it empowers us. I want this to be more powerful in my life. Good. You better get some love on it. I want my marriage, I want my wife to know how special she is, and I better put some love on it. I want my kids not to come home just, oh, school is hard and it's awful, and it is, but I want them to come home and say, you know what, I found one good thing today, and it was good, and today that's enough, and I want my kids to know where that comes from because of love. And I teach my kids that because I came home from work, not complaining about my boss or the expectations put on me, but I had an opportunity today to bless someone. And that was love. Love holds it all together. And if we don't get love right, none of the rest of it is going to matter. All right. One more thing. Turn over to John chapter 13. We're going to let Jesus speak into this. John chapter 13. Which is an amazing chapter, you know, because earlier in this chapter, he washes their feet. He empties himself and does the work of a servant. And he has the Lord's Supper with them. And we see, we're going to pick it up in John 13, 31. And right before this verse, Judas, Satan has literally entered into Judas. Judas has agreed to betray his master, his teacher, his rabbi. He's agreed to do wrong, to love. And he has just walked out, and Jesus says this in verse 31. When he had gone out, that's Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, a little while, and I'm with you. You'll seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. And Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay my life down for you. And Jesus said, will you lay your life down for me? Seriously, look, I'm telling you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Jesus will be glorified. Church, that's the faith and the hope. We are free to love at the expense of ourselves because we know that God will glorify us. That God will be glorified in our lives, and God, when He sends His Son back, will glorify us. I mean, that's what we're living for, is it not? Yes! I mean, you guys wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be here if there wasn't a heaven. Right? I mean, we'd find something else to do. Half of us would still be asleep. But we have that hope. We have that hope, and Jesus showed us this hope. He said, I'm going to love all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Judas has just left me. Yeah, Peter, you're big talk, but you're about to deny me. I'm about to be alone, but I will not stop loving. It's going to get very difficult, but I will not stop loving. It's going to hurt a lot, but I will not stop loving. And Jesus loves till the end. And Jesus loves till the end. you gotta love it. Jesus says to him two things, right? I'm going away, and here's a command. And I love how Peter just skips the command and goes right to, well, where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, the command? Yeah, I got you. Where are you going? That's what we want to know about. How many is our Christian lives, our Christian faith? Where's God going? Where's He leading? What's He doing? I want to see Him. I want to know where He's going. I want to know where the action is. I want to know where Jesus is. I want to be there. And Jesus says, love Him. If people are going to have a chance to know who you follow, it's going to be because of your love. Challenge accepted. Right? Yeah. And it is a challenge. Because you and I are going to go out tomorrow, and we're going to start and say, all right, well, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to be fueled by love, not by coffee on Monday morning. Here we go. And you're going to meet that person that I met this last week. And they're just going to get under your skin. Like 8:07, you're like, seriously? Karen, you couldn't give me until 9:30. What? Right? We can't ease into this? No, you got to bring problems to my doorstep right from the get-go. This is what we're doing today. Huh? This is what we're doing. That customer that's waiting outside the door of your office or your business, you know, tapping their foot, just waiting for you to open the door. It's never good. They don't show up on Monday morning with good, do they? Nope. They show up on Monday morning with complaints, problems, issues, and they say, here, bleh, have some of this. And then you go, all right, Michael talked about it. Yeah. Love holds it all together. And by lunch, we've just melted and fallen apart. Right? Love till the end. Love till the end. Well, what happens when they make it difficult? Well, remember what Steve read for us today. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Why? Because that's what God does. That's what God does. If you just love your friends, what does He say? Not impressed. No, all my friends say I'm a really nice person. They all like me. Congratulations. You're as good as the pagans. Low bar, right? Church, we're going to go out there and we're going to change the world because we're not going to be as good as the pagans. We're going to be complete. We're going to be perfect. We're going to try to be like Jesus. That's going to raise everything. That's going to change everything. And I know, I told you, it's just, you know, one simple little challenge today. We got to accept it. We got to do it. Because He did it for us. He did it for us. We're not loving because we're trying to earn God's favor. We are loving because we know what love does. Completely changed our lives, didn't it? God has completely changed our lives with His love and His sacrifice on our behalf. And so we're going to get out there this week and we're going to do the same. And I am just, you can hold me accountable. You can text me by Tuesday. I'm going to love that person this week. I failed last week. I'm going to love them. That means I'm going to just empty myself of myself, and that person is going to get something good. They're going to get something good. I don't know what it is yet. I don't know what they need. I don't know what the problem was. I don't know what it was inside of them that got inside of me. I don't know. But I'm going to love them this week. That's what we got to do. And if that opens a door for them to say, what? Why? Why? Why aren't you being nasty like everybody else? Why aren't you being mean like everybody else? Why aren't you scared like everybody else? Why would you possibly do this kindness for me? And tell them. Tell them who sent you. Tell them who sent you. And invite them to follow. This morning we invite you to follow. We invite you to follow. If you're not a Christian, we invite you to come and be baptized into Jesus. Because he takes away sins and he grants us his very same spirit. And this morning, Christians, we invite you to follow. You've already been there. You've already taken the first steps. Let's keep it up. Let's keep moving forward. Because we do have faith and hope. We know the one that we trust. And we are still living our lives and working towards that awesome day. That awesome day where he says, come on. Good job. Good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. Come on in. And enjoy this love. It's time for us to practice. It's time for us to practice for eternity. That's what we're doing. So if you need something this morning, please let us know.